They handle that. I mean, people don't go out there and, well, handle not too
it.
Many go.
What do you mean handle it?
Well, you got to handle it if you're going to pick it up. You have to dispose of all that stuff yourself.
So what, do you take it in your tent and just keep it in a bag?
Get a can. Haven't you ever had a coffee can?
I'm asking. It sounds disgusting.
You haven't camped very much?
Yes, but I don't.
They do have porta
keep it in my tent.
They have porta patties. Those pink things. They have those porta potties, and then you bring your cat. You're responsible to clean up your waste, and your dog's waste, and your cat's waste, and your kid's waste.
Cat?
Yeah, if you take your cat. People take their cats.
Who takes a cat to the desert?
Somebody who can't leave their cat alone for 3 weeks, 2 weeks. Anyway, I think it's going to happen. It's a big deal. Everybody loves it. There's no violence going on, not so far anyway.
And the environmentalists don't think they're destroying the desert or anything like that?
How do you destroy the desert?
You know what? Environmentalists will always find something to quibble about.
Okay, he's found something here. Oh, see, she didn't have any clothes, but she's got tattoos on. See, she don't need any clothes.
Really?
Oh, gosh,
why don't I
get
pictures like that?
Turn that around so you can see that. Oh, there's booty. There's booty going on there.
Whoa.
Oh, lost JP.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, see, and they
just
hang
out. She's just standing
there out in the open. Get some tan. Look how
naked.
Pink her booty is.
Yeah.
Everybody out there's going, oh, stop it.
JP, get your eyes back in your head.
So anyway, we'll hope for that. The Burning Man goes on.
The nudist thing never quite works out because instead of having like 50 people like that.
There's the circle.
You got a bunch of old men and old women walking around naked.
Well, hey, we all deserve to be able to do it. Come on, give us a break. Okay. Also, Sparks Marina visitors. You're going to see construction crews busy at work in the weeks ahead as the city gets started on a project that's going to add volleyball courts, a walkway, and a new turf. Right down there at Sparks Marina.
A volleyball, huh?
Yeah. It's valued at more than $392,000 through a contract with Cradex Construction Company right here in Reno, so we're supporting our local people. It's going to expand a usable area on the south beach of the peninsula there. Reduce beach size, provide a larger venue for special events. City staff says that from the city council. They're going to volleyball court for public use, tournaments, electrical improvements for special events, irrigation system for the area with new turf. Interest in the project, of course, is high with 14 firms bidding on the work.
I love beach volleyball.
I do too. I love to watch it too. I did play it, but I love to watch it.
I played in beach volleyball leagues for years with my two daughters, and I tell you what.
I will watch that on TV.
We had some good arguments out there.
Oh, I bet you did. Some slam dunk ones.
My daughter Casey is competitive like me. My daughter Samantha is like, the whole point is just to have fun.
You're going, I have fun when I win.
Like, Samantha, no.
Drive that down your way.
It's more fun when you win.
You know, if we were back in 2008, no one would bid on this project. They'd be too busy building the houses.
Right.
There'd be no one available.
You got a point there. You got an absolute point.
So the price can be lower now, too, because there's so many people competing for that project.
Well, back then, I'm sure it was $1 million.
Yeah.
You know. Now they're going to get a little more reasonable. But that'll be fun. I think they should spiff that up. I love to go out there. The only thing is they said that they weren't allowing any engine boats on there. No boats or fuel.
Yeah, it's not big enough.
I saw a chick out there with her little thing going on.
No way.
And I said, are they allowing motors out there now?
Maybe she had an electric.
Jet skis
electric.
And stuff? Oh, that could be it. Didn't think of
was
that.
Was it a little tiny, skinny?
Yeah, it was a little boat, little dinky thing, and it was... And I thought... Oh, no, don't do it.
She must have an electric motor.
Be killing a lot of birds out there. They were sitting all over, man. They love that.
She's got the Chevy Volt of boats, huh?
You don't know because that was a tar pit before your time.
I heard it was just a gravel pit. And
gravel
then
pit, big
a
hole.
A big flood came and filled it with water.
And only people who were under suspicion went out there.
Was so there water at the bottom of the gravel pit before?
Oh, sometimes. If it rained, which wasn't very often.
See, in Michigan,
sometimes there was some
gravel pits are always full of water because the water table is like 1 inch under the ground all the time. So, of course, you end up with water in the gravel pits.
Yeah, I know it, but not here. This is a desert.
This is a desert.
Desert. We've already had more rain than I usually see here, and we haven't had very much.
So if it was floods that filled it, why does it still have water in it all the time?
What are you talking about?
Sparks Marina.
Oh, that's made. That's man-made now.
Oh, they keep water in it.
Oh, yeah.
Pump it in there.
Keep water in there. Okay. Yeah. Filter it and everything.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You don't know.
I do know. Do I know, Sean? You see right there? Okay, one more thing. Law enforcement agencies across the country, including the Reno Police Department, are tracking cell phone locations, sometimes without warrants. This is according to a report released by the American Civil Liberties Union. They're always trying to stir something up, aren't they? The report sheds light on the procedures that law enforcement agencies in the United States use to track cell phone locations. It's all part of an investigation, you know, crime-fighting efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not include court oversight. The cell phone companies, in turn, charge police departments money for the information. Isn't this exactly what they're doing over in Britain? Isn't it exactly what's going on with the big news newspaper?
Why do they have to pay the phone company? Can't you just get an app?
Did I say the phone company? I said charge police departments money.
But you said the phone company's charging.
Yeah, charging the police department.
But can't the police department just buy that app that keeps track of anybody you want to keep track of? Like,
it probably has a lot to do with
that. Keep track of your husband. There's a GPS
thing.
Well,
you can't buy one to somebody else. Everybody can buy.
Oh,
this is a police force.
They got to have something special.
Yeah, of course. Well, while a court order is required to obtain that in-depth information about a particular cell phone, an administrative subpoena can be directly sent by police to cell phone companies to get general location data from a phone. Yep.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, they say they're not necessarily getting cell phone data.
How do you feel about it?
Usually GPS information.
Does it bother you?
Sort of. I don't want to be tracked, especially if I'm doing something wrong. Especially if I'm doing something wrong. Thank you for joining us today on Broadview for JP Swan Song, and we'll be hearing his Moment of Common Sense. That's coming up right after the break, right here on The Buzz.
You've heard that location is important, but when it comes to your business, location is everything. Here are three reasons why, as a business owner, you should consider Matley Properties. Location, location, location. How many people see your business every day? Would 1,000 be incredible? 10,000 amazing? If your place was at Matley Properties, which is located right off Highway 395, more than 200,000 people would drive by it every day. Every one of the companies located at Matley Properties lead in their respective occupations in our area. AMEC Engineering, Hanger Orthopedic Group, Pacific Medical, Reno Media Group, Tropical Penguin Scuba, and Sandy's Electronics. With their products and services combined with one of Reno's best locations, these companies together generate tens of millions of dollars every year. If you're considering relocation, Matley Properties offers competitive rates and gives your business a chance to be seen by over 200,000 people a day. For your office or retail space needs, call 848-9064.
Welcome back to Broadview, a weekly program with updates and discussions of the issues and hot buttons of Northern Nevadans. Phone lines are open at 823-1920. And now here's your host, Jay Davis.
Okay, so welcome back. We're into Nevada news, and then we're going to get to JP's Moment of Common Sense. But I see here, JP, you brought the city of Reno saved quite a bit of money on their windmill. Did you see that?
Yeah, $121,000 windmill saved them
$4
on the electric bill.
Yeah, so that's just really getting good. The turbines netted $2,800 in energy savings.
$416,000 worth of windmills.
Wow.
Notice how I call them windmills. So, no matter how many times you call them the
turbines.
Proper name.
So it's not happening, huh?
And here's a question. I don't want to pick on anybody, but why isn't the person who made the decision to put these things in, why isn't he fired? He just wasted $416,000.
Well, he might be now, JP. They got to try it first. It's not working, okay? It isn't working. And you know what
Do your homework.
I'm actually befuddled because this is the windiest place I've ever lived. I mean, every now and then the wind kicks up down in Palm Springs, but here, I mean, it could blow your head off.
But
we should be able to do something.
But there are days when it doesn't blow. It's not like it's a steady thing, but when it does blow, you're right. It's really strong
here. Yes, and if we could can you capture the wind?
No.
Capture the sounds. There's a song in there. I captured the wind.
You have to make hay while how's that go?
Never mind. Let's just see what JP has in store for us today with JP's Moment of Common Sense.
Well, it's Easter weekend of an election year, and we all know what that means. President Obama will be spouting scripture in every direction. I find the sight nauseating, not just because I have doubts about the faith of a man who could spend 20 years listening to the hate-filled rants of Reverend Wright, but because Obama tends to get his strict scripture wrong. He desperately wants the Bible to support socialism, and when it doesn't, he hammers the word into a square hole anyway. Watching our president quote scripture is like watching a fish ride a bicycle. His favorite Bible quote is used almost daily and dates all the way back to the moment that put Obama on the map, the 2004 keynote address at the Democrat National Convention, where he said these words, "It is that fundamental belief, it is that fundamental belief, I am my brother's keeper, I am my sister's keeper, that makes this country work," unquote. Nobody had ever heard of him before that night. Obama was a lowly state senator in Illinois, but people were enthusiastic about his speech. If they'd known they were going to hear the same speech every day for the next 8 years, they might have been less enthusiastic. He was running for the U.S. Senate at the time, and before he was done with that election, he was already running for president. So he's been speechifying nonstop since 2004. This is Obama on February 2nd of this year at the National Prayer Breakfast. Quote, "It makes economic sense, but part of that belief comes from my faith and the idea that I am my brother's keeper and I am my sister's keeper, that as a country we rise and fall together." Unquote. And here is Obama last week at the University of Vermont. Quote, "Let me tell you about values. Hard work, personal responsibility, those are values. But looking out for one another, that's a value. The idea that we're all in this together. I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. That's a value." Unquote. The brother's keeper thing comes from Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. The sister's keeper part comes from Barack Obama trying to be politically correct. Thing is, the words come from Adam's son Cain, who had just murdered his brother Abel out of jealousy. When God asks Cain where his brother is, Cain gives the equivocating, smart-alecky answer, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Not exactly the guy whose words you want to use is the fundamental example of what makes America great. Obama also likes to pretend Jesus himself was a socialist. In February, the president was trying to justify raising taxes on rich people and said, quote, "I actually think that this is going to make economic sense, but for me as a Christian, it also coincides with Jesus' teaching that for unto whom much is given, much shall be required," unquote. Those words come from Luke chapter 12, verse 49, and Jesus was talking about the relationship of a slave to his master, creating a metaphor for what God would require from us. Jesus wasn't talking about what the government should steal from us. If you look carefully at what Obama is saying, you'll see that he's plugging us, American citizens, into the metaphor as the slaves. That kind of makes me nervous. Is that how he sees us, as slaves? Sometimes the president quotes the Bible with words that aren't even in the Bible, like when he wanted another jobs bill passed last year, but Republicans weren't cooperating. Obama said, quote, "I trust in God, but God wants us to help ourselves by putting people back to work," unquote. White House spokesman Jay Carney defended the president's implication that God is on the Democrat side, not the Republicans, by saying Obama was quoting from the Bible. "I believe the phrase from the Bible is, 'The Lord helps those who help themselves,'" said Carney. There is no such phrase in the Bible. It's a popular motto about self-initiative. We've all heard it. But it comes from the ancient Greeks, not the Bible. What's more, saying God is on your side in a political dispute about a dubious piece of legislation is low-class baloney. I wish Barack Obama would form a personal relationship with the Bible before he tries quoting it for political gain. That's today's dose of common sense.
Well, and you know, I agree with you, but the Bible has been misinterpreted for how long? I mean, every preacher, every pastor, every prophet, every pope that's ever picked up the Bible has always said, "What I say is the right way."
And what's the most famous misconstrued one? An eye for an eye, right? Like, that gives you
an
excuse because the Bible says I can go do
that's
it to him.
I'm going to kick your butt. You just kick my butt. Yeah, I know it. Well, what does it mean?
I think that one's about, it's like a, I don't know.
Oh, come on. What were you going to
say? I'm not going to get myself in deep water here.
Oh, come on. What were you going
to
say?
It doesn't mean that you're allowed to go poke someone else's eye out if he poked yours out.
It doesn't?
No.
Well, what could it mean? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Well, they might have been using that as an example of what not to do. Just because the words are in the Bible doesn't
mean
they're good examples.
And that takes you back to some of the New Agers and the prophets, the Old Agers, that say what you believe is what will happen. And what you do to another person, they will do to you, or someone else will do it to you. And that seems to be...
But Obama uses that my brother's keeper thing constantly. And it's from Cain.
We've got a Wikipedia version. So, I mean, this must be true. Could you push that up a little bit? Because I don't have my... Oh, now we've got a blue screen. Oh, now it's gone. What'd you do?
I must have hit the cord.
There it is. Okay, here we go. The meaning of the principle, an eye for an eye, is that a person who has injured another person receives the same injury in compensation. the phrase an eye for an eye. Literally, an eye under an eye. What the hell does that mean? Excuse my French. It's a quotation from several passages of the Hebrew Bible. Of course, there's the Gideon Bible. I mean, there's so many Bibles, new and old. Hey, what's happening? What are we going into now? Oh, good. Okay. The English word means punishment identical to the offense. From the Latin, the principle of an eye for an eye is often referred to using the Latin phrase sex? No, the law of talion. Okay, fine. They've got way over my head now. An eye for an eye means that we're going, but you're coming, so we're coming right back, right after your news. Right here on KBZZ, Sparks Reno. You're with Broadview, and I hope you'll stay with us.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Black victims of a white suspect, 3 killed, 2 others wounded. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Police Chief Chuck Jordan stopped short of calling it a hate crime.
Right now, I'm worried about more about 3 of my citizens being murdered. If it takes us in the direction of a hate crime, that's certainly where we'll go, and we'll prosecute them for that as well.
Police concede they do need help from the public, but Tulsa City Council member Jack Henderson, he represents the area where all the shootings happened.
I know that there are some people in District 1 that don't think that they need to be talking to the police department. This is a matter of urgency for this community and this city.
Residents of Tulsa's predominantly black North Side say they are afraid that a shooter is still roaming their neighborhood. The Masters Golf Tournament, often a thrilling affair. This year's weekend having its ups and downs, excitement as well. Live to Augusta and CBS's Steve Futterman. Steve?
Jim, more than a half dozen golfers have had the lead today. Right now, Sweden's Peter Hansen alone at first, 8-under par, 1 stroke ahead of Phil Mickelson and South African Louis Oosthuizen. The highlight of the day so far, this putt by Mickelson on 13.
Strokes the putt out to the left, now taking the turn to the right, up to the cup, and in. Oh, my!
The call on the Westwood One Dial Global Network. Mickelson making an eagle putt at the time that gave him a share of the lead. 11 golfers are now within 4 shots of the top spot. Live at the Masters in Augusta, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Aftermath of what's being called an amazing miracle, the crash of a fighter jet into a Virginia Beach apartment complex. No one killed, no one even seriously injured. The pilots even ejecting to safety.
Since we have the pilots to be able to talk with us and explain exactly what happened, and why they did what they did, what that aircraft was doing to create this ejection situation, this should be done relatively quickly.
That's CBS News transportation safety consultant Mark Rosenker, a former chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board. This is Admiral Ted Branch. He says they'll have plenty to comb over.
But we do have digital flight controls and digital recordings that the airplane does all the time, and those we think are pretty crash-worthy.
It's the Wild West, guns protecting property, Washington State.
In the past week alone, 4 homeowners in western Washington have shot or scared off suspected burglars with firearms. In one case, a homeowner in the city of Puyallup shot at 4 intruders. One of them was fatally wounded. While it may be premature to say this is a trend, gun ownership is becoming much more common in Washington. 12,000 concealed carry permits were replaced, renewed, or requested for the first time in March. The number's usually between 5 and 8,000. And one gun shop owner near Seattle reports his sales in the last quarter were up 25%. Lisa Brooks, CBS News, Seattle.
'Twas the night before Easter. And at the Vatican, holding a tall, lit white candle, the Pope enters a hushed and darkened St. Peter's Basilica, beginning the Vatican's Easter Vigil service. This is CBS News.